Get into it, man. Cool. Make a quick one. It'll be good. It'll be good. Cool. How's training going for? No, absolutely. How's training going for you this week, man? You able to get into the gym?
No, dude, I'm good so busy. Fuck. I'll be there busy. Probably tomorrow.
That's good shit, man. That's good stuff. Get the young guys beating your ass.
What about you? How's training for you?
It's good. You know, like I've been babying my left ankle. I've had a sore Achilles for the past couple of weeks. I did some research and I think it turns out that I have weak calves. So now I'm on this thing where I'm trying to strengthen my calves and do some stretching. I think it'll be pretty good. I think give it a couple of weeks, I'll be pretty good to go. So I'm not too worried. I've been icing my Achilles after every session and it's feeling good, you know?
Nice.
So I'm not too worried. I don't think you're going to hear about anything devastating happening to me. Fingers crossed. But can I ask you something?
Sure.
Am I a genius or what? Did I call the top two Bellator fights or not? Did I call it?
I think you're onto something at this point.
Sir, you know that warning you give at the end of all of our podcasts, like don't follow our suggestions. I might have to flip on that. I'm thinking about that. So I'm talking about last week's Bellator, Benson Henderson versus Peter Queeley. Henderson back to his winning ways with the decision. Did you see Henderson, like we were talking about last week, how it looks like maybe Henderson might be aging out of the game?
Yeah.
But he was still able to do some pretty athletic shit. You see that round kick he threw from the ground that landed on Queeley and scored? Man. So he didn't look too bad.
Yeah, he actually surprised me. I think he surprised a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were both very surprised. Even though I did pick him, I think I was surprised at how convincing it looked.
Yeah.
It was almost vintage.
Yeah. I think that he knows how to grind out a decision somehow. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Benson, that veteran.
Henderson, man. Former UFC champ. I mean, I know the dude was in his hometown, but damn, man. Benson Henderson, man. Still doing the damn thing.
And how about that co-main event? Yoel Romero versus Melvin Manhoef. I mean, I called that one. To be fair, I didn't call it the way it exactly happened, but I did call it by Romero by KO. What'd you think about that fight?
Yoel Romero looks like he never aged at all. you can't tell how old the fucking guy
is,
man.
Now, do you think that has anything to do with any particular vitamins/minerals he's putting in his diet?
He's totally drinking a ton of ginseng.
Ginseng, like green tea and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, yeah. Fruits, vegetables.
Speaking of looking good, even though like this was Melvin Manhoef's last fight, he retired. Yeah, that guy, how old is he? 46? 47? Dude, he looked like an action figure too. God damn.
I don't know how these guys can pull it off. I don't know if it's their diet. Or I mean, Melvin Manhoef. I mean, how tall is this guy?
He's 5'8". Dude, I mean, he's 5'8" is not super tall, but I'm 5'7". I bet you if I stood next to him, I would still feel like I was 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
Just the way he's built and the way he probably carries himself.
He's like a wall.
He probably knows he's like more likely than not, he's the fucking man in whatever room he walks into. Yeah. He probably carries that fucking energy. So I'm like, shit, man. But yeah, that's an end of an era kind of thing. Yoel Romero calling for a title fight now. Whatever.
I mean, watch. He's probably the biggest thing that's ever happened to that division at this point. So
he's such an interesting figure because sometimes you just never know which Romero you get from fight to fight.
Agreed.
So, that was interesting. So that was my big claim to fame over the past week, was just calling those two fights correct. That was just, I hurt my shoulder. I hurt my shoulder patting myself on the back. I'm not gonna lie.
Nice.
Yeah, you want to look forward to this weekend, bro?
This weekend's gonna be kind of cool.
Weekend's kind of busy, right? Where do you want to start?
Let's go with the UFC just because that's kind of what we usually do. It's probably gonna be some of the bigger fights. But that one FC card, good lord, that's gonna be a pretty good one.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. All right, let's talk about the UFC fight night, man. Yeah. Who we got in the main event? Who's fighting in the main event? Who is this? Who are we talking about here?
We got Mackenzie Dernpeace Dern. I'm kidding. versus Yan Xiaonan.
That's a battle of two strawweights. Yeah.
This kind of has, I don't know what kind of implications this has towards the trajectory of both fighters. I think Mackenzie Dern has more to gain than Yan Xiaonan has to gain. I know that Yan Xiaonan is coming off two losses in a row, probably the first of her career, but they do share a loss, I believe, is it Marina Rodriguez? I think they both fought that.
She is tough. No shame in that.
So I honestly think it's going to come down to if Mackenzie Dern can actually get Yan Xiaonan down to the ground.
If this goes to the ground, it's over. If Mackenzie Dern get, and I think she will, because even though Yan is a volume striker, she's not necessarily a power striker. No. So I could see Mackenzie like eating a few just to get it to the ground. I think this is a bad matchup for Yan. I think Dern takes this. Mm. I think, but you had a good question. Like, what does this do to the trajectory of both of their careers? I think it just keeps their names visible. True. And sort of relevant. I don't think anyone's getting a title fight off of this one. No. But I think it just keeps everybody aware of either of these fighters. It keeps them in the collective consciousness. How about that co-main event? This one I'm kind of excited for. Randy Brown versus Francisco Trinaldo. Ooh. Man, I'm excited for this one because I think the X factor is going to be Trinaldo's wrestling and whether he uses that at all. You have a power striker versus in Trinaldo versus a technical striker like Randy Brown, who's got height, who knows how to use his length. How do you see this fight unfolding?
Well, if I remember correctly, Francisco Trinaldo, he used to fight at welterweight, and I think he went up to, no, he started at lightweight, then went to welterweight. But
yeah, so this is going to be fought at welterweight.
Yes, and Randy Brown's just got the height. I feel like as durable as, I think his name is Masaran Duba. Is that how you say that?
No, I don't know how to say that. Look at you. Look at you with the linguistics.
Do you remember when I think the Ultimate Fighter went to Brazil? It was like a Brazil versus like, I think it was the Chael Sonnen.
I think he was part of
that season or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Damn,
okay.
If you look at his resume, it's fucking lengthy, man.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. So he's seen a lot of looks.
And that just shows how durable that guy is. But I think Randy Brown's height is just going to be a little too much. And this guy, I feel like Trinaldo's kind of like one of those guys that you kind of make your name off of at this point, since he's kind of like mid-tier.
I got to agree with you. Yeah. I got to agree with you. So and I like Randy. I'll go there. I'll do the same. I like Randy Brown's style.
Yeah,
I like that. And here in the next fight, I'm excited about this one. Raoni Barcelos versus Trevin Jones.
Yeah.
They're fighting at bantamweight. I think both of them used to fight at featherweight. I know Barcelos used to fight at featherweight. Mm. And I think Jones even had like a catchweight fight at 140 pounds at one point. Nice. This one's something of a clash of styles. I'm a big fan of Barcelos just because he's an action fighter, power punches. When it gets to the grappling, he's strong on top. He's smart positionally. But Jones is a, Brazilian jiu-jitsu background. He's a patient striker.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about this one. I'm going to go with Barcelos just because I think the more well-rounded set and just could start a little faster. I don't know how you see this fight.
Yeah, I'll go with Barcelos as well. Trevin Jones, he's also coming off two losses in a row. Hasn't been very active, but I think Barcelos takes that as well.
Do you think it's going to be one that Barcelos wins on the feet, or is it going to be something that happens on the ground will decide it?
I think he'll be a little too much. I think he'll be too much on the ground.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm so interested to see that because Jones is, I think he fancies himself more of a grappler. So I'd like to see how he solves how Raoni's, he's got this like tight top game So I'm kind of curious to see how he confronts that. Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting matchup for me. What other matchups on this UFC card are kind of interesting to you?
I'm going to go with that Borshev versus Mike Davis fight.
Borshev,
he was also on the Contender Series, which was cool. I think I'm going to go with Mike Davis. They're both kind of those Contender Series alumni, and I'm going to go with him. Right. Also, Guido Canetti versus Ryan Costa. Ryan Costa, he had a promising beginning, but ended up, you know, exchanging wins and losses and whatnot. But Brendan Allen versus Christoph Jotko, that's a good one.
I'm interested in Ilya Latifi versus Alexei Oleinik.
Nice.
They're going to close the prelim card. Those are two heavyweights, and it's going to be a clash of styles. I want it to be a grappling match just because both of them are different types of grapplers, right? Yeah, yeah. Latifi is like the strong wrestler. He has power strikes, and he knows how to use control in the different positions, where Olenek has got so many submissions in his bag. And I just kind of want to see those styles kind of clash against each other. I don't know. Oh, dude, I don't know who's going to win this one if it goes to the ground, because Latifi is built like an action figure. That guy. And Alexei Olenek, he's built like your old uncle at the barbecue that just told you to go grab him another beer out of the cooler. He's got the submissions, though, and he's tricky and tough. I mean, the eye test, you almost want to go with Latifi just because the wrestling, you know, and his power. But God damn, I have a hard time sometimes picking against Olenek. Yeah, so for this one, this is my pick'em. This one's my pick'em. So I don't know how this one's going to go. Sick.
I think it's going to be great, though.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool. It's kind of like you see the guy who obviously is on every vitamin that GNC sells and the other guy who has tried every beer in the liquor store. That's what it kind of looks like to me. And sometimes, you know what? You never bet against the drunk in those kind of situations.
He's the one that could pull out some weird shit.
Dude, right? I'm telling you, he's got some tricks in the bag.
Yeah, and he hasn't done well against like some hard strikers, though. No,
you know, you're right. That's actually, shit, man. You actually called it right there. Yeah. And Latifi does have power in his strikes. Goddamn. I might have to go with Latifi on this one then. Damn. I'm going to be made to look stupid. Watch. Yeah. Damn it. This is going to be my white belt moment. I know it.
Jessica Penny is still doing the damn thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got it. Got a couple of like people that have been around for a while still making it happen on this card. Put them on the free card.
Man, I mean, you know, hopefully this is one of those cards that just produces those crazy finishes, like those kind of untold ones.
That's me. What might be one of those like cards where people are just wanting to get noticed, so they're just going to put it all on the line.
Yeah.
So we might be in store for some action. So I'm looking forward to it, but it's going to be a packed weekend because at the same time, we got Bellator 286.
Ooh, this one's going to be good.
Like you got, the featherweight champion, Patricio Pitbull versus Borix, for the featherweight title.
That's going to be a good fucking
man. Fight. Like, who do you got in this one?
You know, I'm going to go with Adam Borix only because we all know what a fucking savage Patricio is anyway. Mm-hmm, I'm going to try to give the young buck some credibility here.
Let me tell you about that Borix kid. When you make a mistake, he makes you pay for all those mistakes. Like look at a bunch of his wins. It's his opponent making just these little mistakes and boom, Borix is on their back strangling them.
Yeah.
And he's also a smart striker. He's smart, like, and a smart grappler. He does not make a lot of mistakes.
Nope.
But I'm going to go with Pitbull here just because I think he has the slight power and speed advantage. And I'm wondering if Borix can handle that aggressiveness that Pitbull brings with both his striking and grappling.
Yeah.
But again, that aggressiveness could also make you prone to mistakes, and Borx takes advantage of mistakes. So, man, that's going to be fire, bro. That's going to be a fucking fire ass fight. And how about the co-main on that? You know, both former UFC fighters. You got AJ McKee versus Spike Carlisle. How do you see that fight unfolding?
I mean, this is AJ McKee's first fight after his loss to Patricio. So
yeah,
I think he's got something to prove here. I don't know if this is at Feather. I think I thought he said he was going to stay up.
You know, they're gonna fight this at lightweight. I did see that on the Bellator. Yeah, on the Bellator website, they're saying it stays at lightweight.
Okay.
I just think McKee's more well rounded.
Oh yeah, much.
While Spike does have power. Good wrestling, and he's good in the scramble, but so is AJ McKee. AJ McKee is very smart in the scramble, and he's rangy with his power. I think McKee just has more ways to win this fight.
I don't think I've even seen Spike Carlisle fight.
He's not, you know what? He's like a good overall type of fighter, but he doesn't have a style that will stand out to you, except the fact that he always looks like he's shorter than his opponent, even though he's not that much shorter. He's built like a powerhouse.
The alpha.
So that's one. You definitely don't want to get hit by someone like
him. His nickname is the Alpha Ginger.
Yes, he does have red hair. Name. He owns that, man. And what about your boy? This is a featured featherweight fight of the
dude.
Night. Your boy Aaron Pico versus Jeremy Kennedy. Is this just something where they're feeding Kennedy to Pico just to get Pico like another win?
Obviously. I mean, I'm kidding. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Pico is, you know, he's kind of the talk of the town at the moment, as far as like Bellator is. I'm surprised he's not the co-main, but, when you're behind AJ McKee, God, you know,
no shame in that.
Yeah.
Know your place, boy. You tell them, know your place, boy.
Jeremy Kennedy, the Canadian. He's also a UFC, a former UFC. Actually, he's been around the world. He's been around the whole circuit, PFL, Bellator, UFC.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's athletic enough to hang with Pico. No. He just, and there's a big question mark on his grappling. So I just don't think the athleticism is there for him to be able to be as big a threat to Aaron that would make it as compelling a fight. But I think we should mention it because Pico's being groomed to be one of Bellator's next big stars.
How soon until Aaron Pico fights either AJ McKee or Patricio?
You know, I always feel like sometimes Pico gets this matchup that's supposed to go his way and then some shit goes sideways.
Yeah.
And there are some people that sometimes they just hit a ceiling where I don't know if it's a mental or physical thing that happens with them.
Yeah.
And it's, like, if he wins this one, he should have to prove himself one more time against someone who's, like, really top. Because I see someone like Pitbull, like, starching him, to be quite honest. If I could be honest. Pitbull's fucking frightening, man.
Yeah,
I haven't been scared of a featherweight since Jose Aldo.
I mean, guy looks like a fucking, he just looks like a fucking problem.
Yeah. I mean, let's be fair to Pico. Like, Pico is also a problem as well. Oh, dude, I think he came away from his wrestling too much sometimes. I think that's why he kind of hit that plateau in his fight development.
But if
he kind of really knows how to mix both, I think then he could take it to the next level. Let's talk about go to Asia. One FC, one 161. Now it's being headlined by some great Muay Thai and kickboxing fights, but I do want to let's quickly just go over the MMA fights on the main card, just because we are an MMA podcast.
Yes.
MMA lightweights, Zhang Lipang versus Sayyid Izaka Makhmev. Woo! Izagak Maev. Oof, there you go. Got it.
God damn. How the fuck does this guy already have 22 fights, dude?
Dude, you know what?
And then the
other
Chinese
countries,
dude,
they just stay busy.
Is that Chinese guy or is he freaking...
Oh, Zhang?
He might be from
Singapore. How many fights has Zhang had?
He's got fucking 43.
Jeez. Like that. Jesus Christ. That's a lot of ring slash K time.
He fought in the UFC.
The name did sound familiar. And then at Adam Waite, we have two female fighters, Ritu Fogat versus Tiffany Teo. And then in the heavyweights, they got Omar Kane, which is a great name, versus Gazaev. I don't even know how to try his first name. Sorry.
Batrads Gazaev.
Batrads, thank you. Batrads Gazaev.
This whole card, the names are impossible. Like Sagid Izakamayev, that's one of Khabib's fucking homies. I think.
God damn, you did much better than me. Oh, is he trains with Khabib?
Yeah, he's like Khabib's fucking... his fluffer or something like that.
Oh, fuck, man. Well, that's a lot of fluffing that has to be done.
But apparently they like one championship really pushes that on, like narrative, like, hey, that's Khabib's fucking homie, dude. So
I got to tell you, it just speaks highly of the UFC brand.
Yeah.
You know, you get these fighters that go into these other promotions and they're introduced as former UFC fighters.
Or Khabib's fucking homie.
Khabib's fucking fluffer, you mean? It's just, as Sean likes to point out. But also, there's a big time Muay Thai fight that's headlining this card.
Yeah, dude.
Petch versus Talwar Chai. Now we don't talk too much Muay Thai on this podcast, but we'll just briefly say that this is kind of a old lion versus young lion fight right here. How do you see that fight going?
Wait a minute. Is there two cards?
No, this is going to be all the same card.
Oh, what about the Angela Lee one?
I don't think that's tomorrow.
It's not?
I don't think so. Uh-oh. Am I misreading things?
Friday, September. No, it is Friday, September.
Oh, it 30. Is? Oh, there's another one?
Prime time. That's on Prime Video.
Oh, God. Angela Lee. Who's Angela Lee fighting?
She's fighting, it's the trilogy, Yan Jianan.
That's right. The body shot, right?
What in the fuck is going on? Oh, so yeah.
Oh my God. Sorry, guys.
It looks like there's two cards.
I didn't do my research.
Thursday, September 29, main card, 8:30 p.m.
That's their time. So it's like 5 a.m.
So it's 8:30 a.m. Eastern. That's the Pet Morakot versus the Taiwan Chai. That's headlining the Thursday card.
Well, okay, let's go towards the Angela Lee rematch.
Yeah.
Versus what's her name again?
Well, wait a minute. Who's gonna take this this Muay Thai fight? I'm gonna go with
Talwar Chai just because of youth.
Me too.
Petch is super, super smart, but I think sometimes when you wait a little bit, he does have a patient game, Petch. Sometimes the youth can just like run you down. But just fighting downhill. I think it's going to be compelling, though. It's going to be compelling. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to waking up at 5 a.m. to check it out. Dude.
Taiwan Chai, I mean, I got to say, he's got a lot of talent. And I feel like he's probably going to give him... You think he's going to finish him? I think he's going to finish him.
I think it'll go to decision.
Okay.
I think it'll go to decision. All right. But because, man, Petch is tough. So I like to give the old lions a fair shot at it. But who do you think is going to win the Angela Lee? What's her opponent's name again? I'm sorry.
Yan Jianan. Oh no, Yan Jianan. It's
no wrong Chinese girl. Do you think Angela Lee? Man, she's on a tear. You think she avenges her loss?
I think so. I mean, if she can beat Stamp the way she did, I feel like Stamp was a much better striker than Ching Xiao Nan. And I don't know.
Angela Lee is soft on the middle though, isn't she? It's like she gets hurt on the body shots a lot.
I'm thinking one championship is probably going to be like, dude, we're really hoping Angela Lee wins this and becomes a double champ again.
Here, drink this special mix water that I made for you.
It has cocaine. Don't forget the cocaine thingy in your chocolate cocaine thing in your shorts.
We put the meth in your locker. Yeah.
But I think Angela Lee's going to take it. I think she finishes her, submits her, I think.
Yeah, Angela Lee's MMA brand of jiu-jitsu has just served her so well.
So
and it's just been hard for other fighters in her division to really keep up with that kind of pace that she puts on the grappling, especially in one. I don't think the grappling level or MMA style grappling level in one is as high as it is in some other promotions.
I totally
agree. Angela Lee's able to sit atop her throne there. So no, hey, nothing wrong with that. You know, your job is just to fight the opponents you have in front of you.
Yeah.
And what else are you going to do? All right. So that's fucking Jesus Christ. That is a lot of fights then tomorrow. Or not just tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. God damn.
Who do you got for this Superbon fight versus this guy Typhoon Ozcan? I guess Superbon's co-main for the Angela Lee Jingxian An fight.
I have a hard time picking against Superbon. But then always sometimes these guys I don't follow as closely, you know, they surprise me. And I always like watching it because you always learn something.
Yeah.
You always learn something. Especially in Thai boxing, man.
What about that Mikey Musumeci grappling?
Oh, the grappling match?
Yeah.
I don't. Who's the guy he's fighting?
Or dude, he's clever. It's not a fight. He's a savage too, though.
Is he? Yeah. Okay.
He's training with my guy. Shout out to Taylor Ninja McCorriston out there in FTCC Las Vegas. I guess Mikey hangs out over there.
And, okay.
My boy Taylor Ninja is with him over there in Singapore right now. I guess.
Hey.
Training
right
there.
On.
And then how about Stamp Fairtex, my girl?
Oh, Jean that's right.
Radzuan, she's fighting.
She's doing an MMA. That's an MMA fight, right?
Yeah, that's an MMA fight.
Wait, that can't be tomorrow because isn't she on a U.S. tour right now?
No, she will be.
Oh,
she
will.
I saw that on Matt Lucas's thing, yeah.
Okay.
And then,
she's defying the laws of physics and reality.
I say Stan wins this one, though. I think Stan wins. But then you
know. Yeah, they're trying to match her up favorably, I think.
And then former champion Martin Wynn, he's fighting as well.
Oh, yeah. Heavy hitter. Heavy hitter.
Some fucking Russian. I am actually excited to see the Anissa Mexen versus this bantamweight chick.
Yeah.
Like she's fighting someone out of Bukowski.
But that's, isn't that a mixed hybrid fight they're doing?
Ooh.
Anissa Mexen versus that other girl.
I think it says here it's Muay Thai, but.
Oh, is this Muay Thai? Okay.
That's what it said.
I thought I saw something. Again, obviously, folks, we're doing our research so thoroughly. But I thought I saw Mexen was announcing this on her Instagram as the, like some kind of hybrid fight. Unless that's something in the future that she's doing. Future.
I saw the same.
Okay, thing, I got you.
But right, Anissa Mexen, though, she's got some fucking Muay Thai, man.
She's legit. She's absolutely legit.
For sure.
Damn, so that's a lot to cover, guys.
I can't wait, though. It's going to be, I love these hybrid cards, man.
It's going to be interesting. You know, you get, it's like having a palate cleanser after something heavy, then you get sweet, then back to savory, then back to sour.
Did it feel kind of naked not having any MMA on Saturday this past weekend, though? Did you notice? Because there was just that Bellator Quigley Henderson
fight. Honestly, I kind of liked it. It kind of gave me a breather. I kind of liked it.
Good.
Honestly, I kind of liked it.
You need to breathe from all the fights. So
let's run through some quick news. Your boy Song Yadong actually turns out in his fight against Corey Sandhagen suffered a fractured orbital bone. He said after round two, he was seeing triple. He was seeing three Corey Sandhagens. So he's getting a surgery done pretty soon, and that's about a 2 to 4 month recovery. Can you imagine going through that fight with a broken orbital? God damn.
And he has that fucking cut too, man. Damn.
That's some tough shit. Hey, and then other news, like Khamzat Chimaev, Dana White says they're going to let him choose whether he wants to do 170 or 185, and Chimaev's calling out Colby Covington. What do you think?
We kind of called that.
Yeah, because we're geniuses. Better on our shit.
I think that's going to reignite. I think it's going to create a great storyline for the welterweight division, especially since we don't know what's going to happen with Leon Edwards and Kamaru
Usman. Yeah.
So I think that'll be, I think that would be great for the division.
What about this weird shit?
What's that?
Like there's things like where Conor McGregor, whether he's in the USADA testing pool or not, and if yes, why is it that he's only been tested once in the past year, which was the fall of 2021, not tested at all in 2022. Is there some kind of double standard going on?
Oh, totally.
Is what people are asking. Have you seen photos of him? That dude is juicy. He's looking juicy.
He was doing some muscle ups in front of like all these people. And I was like, damn, this motherfucker's strong. And then did you see him grappling?
No. How's he looking?
There was a video that someone put out of him wrestling with maybe someone from the Irish wrestling national team or something like that. He was looking kind of, I don't know, maybe they were like patting him or something like that, but damn, he looked actually pretty good. I don't know if you could find that, but damn, he looked pretty good.
Let me tell you, I'll be curious to see that, but you said the Irish wrestling team, and in my head, I think that's like saying the best bullfighter in Alaska.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's just, I mean, I'm being an asshole right now, but whatever. So right. I'm just saying that. I'm not,
that could have been his backyard for all week.
Can I tell you something? I bet you those Irish wrestlers beat the shit out of me. I get it. Okay. I'll accept that. But yeah. I'm just going to put things in perspective. Hey, we messaged each other about this, but Eddie Alvarez has parted ways with ONE FC. The report is that the split was amicable, and Eddie's main motivation is just he wanted to finish his career in the U.S. So he's open to a return to the UFC or to Bellator. What do you think? Probably Bellator is probably more realistic, huh? He would get lost in the mix in UFC, dude. Yeah, and like you think about the top five in UFC right now, which is Tater.
Already won a belt there, man. So he doesn't really need. I think at this point he just needs fights to kind of, you know, push his legacy. I don't think he can't make a UFC title run. No fucking way.
Well, I think that leads next to this next news item. Scott Coker, Bellator, announced a lightweight Grand Prix in 2023.
Really?
Yeah.
Then this kind of plays.
And Eddie might be available for that. There's a $1 million prize.
That could be.
If you win the Grand Prix.
Eddie Alvarez versus Pitbull, the other Pitbull.
Oh, is he a champion? Oh yeah.
Huh. Is he a champion right now?
Like the other Pitbull? I don't believe so. Right? No. But that'd be interesting. You get to see some interesting matchups in Grand Prix and in those tournaments that maybe you don't get to normally see.
What about McKee versus Eddie Alvarez at lightweight? That'd be a pretty good fight.
That would be interesting. I think Alvarez would get pieced up, but Eddie's tough too. Eddie's tough. He's not going to go away. So Scott Coker made that announcement. And in other news, Aspen Ladd got released from the UFC.
Oh my God, dude.
Failure to make bantamweight a number of times. And what's so interesting is that, you know, they said they didn't even give her the option to go up to featherweight. They just said, you can't make that. That just shows that, you know, maybe your skill level isn't so transcendent that they even give you a chance to make another weight division, that they just said, you know, we're just going to cut her losses and run. And that's just too bad for her.
So promising too, man.
I think they're just going to plump her up and feed her to Kayla Harrison in PFL, like you said. That's fucked up. We're really fucked up right now. This is what happens when you record at 11:30 at night, everybody. Yeah,
but who signs her besides? But who signs her besides the PFL? It's like the bigger weight classes over in Bellator. They don't even have. What are they going to do? Like fatten her up to go against Cyborg or something like that? Like,
dude, I think it's PFL. I think it's PFL or bust for her. I mean, she has a name. People know the name, but you can't make 35. Make 45 or don't even bother and just be like someone for Kayla Harrison to throw around at 155.
And she's not even that much outspoken, like as far as why she's been missing weight.
God, man, there could be so much fucked up things going on in these people's lives that we don't even know. So I feel bad, but at the same time, you are a professional fighter, and the professional thing you have to do is to, you know, make weight.
Who does he train with?
I don't even know. When I name like Aspen Ladd, I keep picturing somewhere in Colorado. But that's fucked up. But it's probably not even true.
I think you're right.
probably not even true. But hey, so, but before we wrap things up, I do want to pose a question to you, and I want to pose a question to our audience, guys. Hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what you think about this question. This one came up on bloodyelbow.com. It was a question that was answered by the great Roxanne Modafferi.
Yeah.
She now has like an article, a weekly article on bloodyelbow.com where she answers questions. And I didn't read this article, but I did read the question. And the question is, does a mid-fight injury, I specify as a mid-fight injury, affect the quality of a win? So me and Sean are fighting. I take a step back. My ACL blows out. Mm. Sean wins. Does that take the color, the shine away from Sean's win? Should Sean still be allowed to celebrate a win like that? What do you think, Sean? What's your initial thoughts on that? Because we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen with a number of fights. Sometimes it happened in the beginning. Sometimes it happens in the later round.
I mean, you know, that kind of reminds me of when Chito Vera went up against Sean O'Malley.
Yeah, and Sean O'Malley broke his foot.
Yeah, and
yeah,
you know, I don't know if he broke it per se, but he did get injured, and that changed. That pretty much changed the whole dynamic of the fight. And look at the trajectory that it put. I mean, Cheeto's pretty much top of the food chain at that point. But
he's a name.
Yeah. So I don't think you have the right to celebrate. I mean, I think depending, like a win's a win, right? But
a win is a win, and it's not your fault, for example.
It's not.
But also, let's say, for example, like, see, that one is different though, because like Sean threw a kick and like it hit a knee or something. So in a way, Cheeto did kind of cause it.
Yeah.
But let's say, for example, I step back and I twist my own ankle. Oh, fuck. You had nothing to do with it necessarily. That could be argued. Yeah, that could be argued. I mean, at the same time, I understand there's like an emotional release that happens for the winning fighter. They've trained so long to get to this point, to be victorious. But then, you know, sometimes like things that are really out of your control just happen to work your way. I don't know how hard you should be allowed to celebrate that. But at the same time, it's like it's not your fault either. You know, maybe you didn't cause it, but it's also you weren't the bad luck. So I don't know. We want to hear from you guys. Let us know on Instagram, message us, hit us up, and the best view them next week's episode.
Yeah.
So is your weekend coming up going to be filled with just like fights?
I think so. I think I'm going to try to look watch at you. All of
you're
these fights.
True student of the game.
Well,
true
I like how everything's going to be kind of in a row where Friday morning, you're going to be like, oh, great. What championship? And then is Bellator Friday or is it Saturday?
I think it's Friday. No, I think it's Saturday. You could correct me.
Yeah, it is Saturday.
Okay. So I think one championship is actually tomorrow morning.
One of
which
them.
Is their Friday, which is their Friday.
Yeah.
I think.
So is one going on right now or is it going to be going on? Because
it's going on in, I think, in about like 6 hours.
Damn, what the fuck?
In 6 hours from now. So just to give you perspective, guys, this is Wednesday night, the 28th at 11:30 p.m. Yeah. West Pacific Standard Time.
West Coast time.
West Coast time, West Side time, Best Side time. Yeah, okay. Well, dude, I'm gonna try to do the same. I'm going to try to like be on it with these fights, bro.
Yeah, I saw that all way. Drink, I could, by the way, for losing the
no white belt, no white belt moments for me. We did the Matt Melvin versus Yoel That's Romero.
Right. That's right.
I called it Romero.
So I owe you.
We'll make that. Maybe we could make that happen these next few days. We'll see. Yeah, we'll touch base.
Do that.
I like it, man.
Before Good we shit. Wrap up, I want to give a shout out to the Paulino family. One of my mentors lost his battle to cancer over the past week. And I mentioned this on the podcast the other time. And unfortunately, you know, God gained a new one. So he gained a good one. So just want to give a shout out to Dex Beats, Paulino and his family out there in Concord. He leaves 3 children behind and a wife. So, just want to give a shout out to Dex Beats. Thank you for everything, my buddy.
My condolences, Sean.
No, thank you, man. Now we're all about celebrating his life and his legacy. So he's a Barrier native and a legend at that. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, everybody. And don't forget to follow us on our Instagram and our social media. Mine is Sean_Pierre_, and yours, Carlo.
Hopkey1 on Instagram, guys.
Yeah, and don't forget to look up Magala Jiu-Jitsu out in San Francisco, Fight Culture Daily City, Omni Movement out in Hercules, and Evolve Training Center out there in South City.
I'm at Hapkido USA with Kohya Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and we're also there with our Muay Thai group, Golden Pizza Muay Thai. Also check out Pacific Ring Sports in Oakland.
Don't you know what? You might want to fucking put some money on our picks. So
do this, guys. Tell us this. Okay, so answer a question about the injury mid-fight, but also tell us if you actually placed any money on any of these fights based on what you heard here. Because Carlo is looking
for 2%.
Well, no. But tell us whether it went well, and also tell us if it went bad. And you can also yell at me on Instagram about it too.
All right, guys, have a good weekend. A lot of fights to cover. We're gonna have a good episode next week.
Hell yeah.
Take care, guys. Have a good night.
Peace.